Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
All right, so today we want to look at the eighth part of Armies of the Kingdom, and we are looking at the subject, the law of loyalty, or the principle of loyalty. Our text is going to be from Luke chapter 22 and then verse 28 to 30. The Bible says that ye are they which have continued with me, Jesus is speaking, in my temptations or trials, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. One important quality of a soldier is loyalty. Can we all say loyalty? That is one important quality of a soldier. The rules of spiritual engagement of the enemy, when we want to engage the devil, the rules of engagement is to have somebody cover your back. So you see that Jesus Christ always sent a minimum of two people on any mission at all. He sends a minimum of two people with their backs facing each other. I wish I could demonstrate it, but you know, two people, two soldiers are sent on a mission, minimum of two people, and their backs are facing each other. So if they are going towards maybe where this flower is, one will be facing the flower, the other one has his back against the back of the one facing the flower. So their backs meet together like this, and that is how they move. You do not have to move facing the back of the other. No, it's not like that. If you watch some of these war movies, you see the way that they move when they are covering their backs. One is moving maybe backwards, and he is covering the back of the one who is really giving the direction and getting the thing going. So that is what Jesus Christ does. He sends people in two, and our backs must face each other. You know, we must face each other's back. Our backs must face each other, and we must trust that no one will run away. The one whose back is facing you should not run away, otherwise you are in trouble. The one should be loyal. There should be loyalty from one to the other. So although you may not see the person behind you, you must have every trust and confidence that there is somebody watching your back. Okay, either way, both of them with their backs facing each other will have to not run away. All right, so loyalty is armor for the back. Loyalty is armor for the back of the soldier. Why do we need an armor for our back? If you study the dressing of the soldier, in that is the Christian, his dress, the Christian is a soldier. It's only soldiers who put on armor, who are armed. So every Christian should be a soldier. Now, if you look at the armor, there is no covering for the back. But the back is also as dangerous as the front, because they could shoot you, they could shoot your heart from the back. They could put an arrow through you from the back. So the back is also very important. But can you imagine that God never gave us an armor for the back? Now, why do we need an armor for the back? It is because Satan is weak and defeated. And so he does not normally face a believer. The devil knows that he is weak. He has been defeated. He is ashamed. And He cannot face a believer who knows who he is, who knows who Jesus is and what he has done. Because the devil cannot face a believer who knows he is, he always engages us from the back, you know, as cowards do. He sneaks on us. He sneaks on us like thieves do. John chapter 10 verse 10. I believe I want you around John chapter 10. But John chapter 10 verse 10 says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is how the devil comes. He comes like a thief. A thief always sneaks on you. When you are sleeping, when you are not conscious, he sneaks on you. And that is how the devil operates towards the Christian who knows who he is, like you and I. Hallelujah. The devil engages us from the back. That is why we need to watch the back of one another. That is why we need to be loyal. People must trust that we are behind them. We are watching their back. Like the American says, I have your back. You know, if you carefully study the callings of God, you will see that God calls us as individuals. He calls us as individuals and he gives us assignments that cannot be done without another person. That is always his calling. He will call you as an individual and give you an assignment that you cannot do alone, that you can only do together. Hallelujah. God himself does not work alone. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible introduces us to the modus operandi of God, or the Americans will say the modus operandi. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This God, we are told by Hebrew scholars, is in the Hebrew, the word is Elohim, but in some way. And it is a plural form of El. In the beginning, Elohim. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created the heavens and the earth. He tells us the way he works. He tells us the way he does things on this earth. That he does things together. All right? So God gives us purposes. He gives us work. He gives us assignment that can only be done together with other people. So we need to bear this one in mind. Genesis 1:26 also says, and God said, let us make man. He didn't say, let me make man, or I am going to make man. He said, let us do it. Let's work like a team. Let's work together. Let's create man in our image, after our likeness. All right. So when Jesus Christ came on this earth, knowing the way that God engages the devil on this earth, when he came, his first assignment was to form an apostolic group. He formed a team. I like to call it a commission. It's not a commission of inquiry, where some people come together to make inquiries into a fire disaster or into some shootings or into something, corruption, whatever. But he formed a commission. They were together. He formed a team. And John chapter 17, in John chapter 17 verse 4, Jesus Christ referred to this assignment, his first assignment of forming a team. He refers to it in John chapter 17 and then verse 4. He refers to this assignment of forming a team, and he gave an account to God that he had finished forming it. He had finished forming it. Jesus said, "It is finished," two times. The first time he said it is in John chapter 17, verse 4. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Jesus had not gone to the cross, but here he is saying that, "I have finished the work that you gave me to do." Question: what work did God give to Jesus? What assignment did God give to Jesus? I suggest to us that Jesus's number one assignment was to form an apostolic group. So after he had formed them, he gave an account to God that, "I have finished the assignment you gave me," and he emphasized the need for teamwork and togetherness to bring about the kingdom all throughout John chapter 14. As he gave the account, he always referred to, "Let them be together. Let them be one. Let them work as a team. Make them one like we are one. May they approach this work like Elohim approached it in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. So look at John 17 and then verse 18. He is still praying to God, giving an account of this first assignment of forming a team. He says that, "As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Hallelujah. You know, Jesus Christ was sent into the world to bring the kingdom of God on this earth. He says that, "As you sent me with this assignment to kingdomize the world, even so have I sent this team that they should go and kingdomize the world." Hallelujah. Verse 21. "That they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world," look at the reason, "that the world," make them a team, let them work together, "that the world may believe that you have sent me." So what is Jesus saying? He's saying that the world will believe in him. The world will believe in Jesus through our teamwork, through working as an army. So Jesus afterwards later on went to the cross. And when he got there, he said his second, "It is finished." What was he referring to? He was referring to the redemptive work of dying on the cross. When all the scriptures had been fulfilled, he said, "It is finished." Okay? And so he rose again to give his apostolic team a kingdomization commission. Matthew chapter 28:18-20. This commission was given to a team. T-E-A-M. A team. Alright? We call it a commission. The word commission comes from two words. The first one is co, C-O. And the second one is mission. A commission is actually a mission that cannot be done alone. It's a mission that must be done together. That is why it's a co-mission. So the believer or the church of the living God is on a mission on this earth, but it is a commission. It is something that we need to do it together. Indeed, Jesus so taught and prayed teamwork on his team that the apostles didn't work alone, but only as a team. Team is T-E-A-M. Only as a team. So Jesus had an apostolic team. Peter had an apostolic team. Paul had an apostolic team. Barnabas had an apostolic team. In fact, none of the apostles named in the Bible worked alone. They always and only worked together. They worked as a team. And I want to show you some few examples, even to the point of Paul's writing. that he really attributed his writing not to himself alone, really, by his word. And we know he was not lying nor exaggerating, that he was emphasizing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Get into the Bible. We're going to go through some scriptures, okay? So 1 Corinthians 1, 1. Paul, I read now. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the word of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. So who wrote the book of Corinth? Paul. I know traditionally we were all taught Paul, and it was for ease, but it was the work of the devil to blind our eyes to the need for teamwork in the assignment that God called us and gave us. So Paul says that no, it's me and Sosthenes, whoever he is. 2 Corinthians 1:1.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Says Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, and which with all the saints which are at Achaia. And then he wrote on. He says that this, what I am writing, is not from one person. It is from myself and Timothy. Now, look at Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Paul had an apostolic team. Timothy was there. Titus was also in his team. Look at Colossians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints which are in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and then verse 1. There is a way that emphasis does to us, so I want us to go through these things. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonica, or the Thessalonians, which are in God the Father. He says that this letter, the book of Thessalonica, is from Paul, from Silvanus, and from Timothy. We are saying it. It's all from one person. Isn't it marvelous? 2 Thessalonians, final scripture here. 1:1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see that Jesus really put this team spirit into his people. How did it get lost? Loyalty means trustworthiness. Trustworthiness. It means to be true. It means to be dependable. It means faithfulness. It means reliability. A loyal person or a loyal soldier understands the need for teamwork. Else really loyalty doesn't arise. Loyalty doesn't arise without teamwork. Loyalty is to a cause. And I want us to understand this very carefully. Loyalty, the loyalty that God wants, that it characterizes his end time army, is to a cause. And if anyone stands for that cause, that person attracts the loyalty. Loyalty is to a cause. C-A-U-S-E. All right, is to a purpose, is to a reason. There is a cause for it. Okay, loyalty is to a cause. And if anyone stands in that cause, that person attracts loyalty. And please listen carefully. It doesn't attract the loyalty because of him or her per se, but because of the cause he or she represents. It's important for us to understand the object of loyalty. Loyalty is to be directed towards a cause. The only cause that God expects us to live and die for is that of Christ, is that of Jesus Christ. Only the cause of Christ, only the reason, the purpose of Christ can bring people together. He said that if you shall lift me, I am going to draw all men towards myself. So loyalty is to the cause of Christ. One of the respected soldiers in the Old Testament, I believe the greatest soldier, and in my own estimation and study of the scripture, the greatest loyalist in the Bible that we can learn and imbibe loyalty from is a soldier and a king called David. David said in 1 Samuel 17:29 that is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? David meant that once there is a cause, in spite of myself, I must be loyal to the cause. Once I find a cause that Israel, the cause of Israel, is at stake, that the armies of Israel is at stake, I am going to be loyal to the cause for which God set up an army. So although he was a cheese bearer, he went into the battle with cheese. That was his assignment. Yet he identified with the higher cause. These things are important. He identified with, he left his chief assignment and then he identified with the cause. He kept saying, is there not a cause? I have discovered a cause. So I am going away from myself, in spite of myself, in spite of the cowardice of the armies of Israel, in spite of the cowardice of King Saul, in spite of the discouragement of the brothers of David, in spite of his mission, he said that I will be loyal to the cause. And that is how God wants us to be. So stuck to the cause of Christ, that no pastor can discourage you from the cause of Christ, which the armies of the living God has been assigned. No human being, not when they are insolent to you in church, will you be disloyal. You will stick to the cause because you have identified a cause, a higher cause that warrants your loyalty. So that is what we need to understand, that 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand as soldiers, but because the cause of Christ is still there, we must stand. We must be loyal to the cause of Christ. So loyalty is ultimately to the cause of Christ. You know, sometimes the people that Jesus Christ ride upon are tempted to think that people are around them because of them. You know, I have in mind this triumphant entry of the King Jesus into Jerusalem. And I am trying to put us in the shoes of the donkey that Jesus Christ rode upon. Everybody came around singing praises and all that. It is easy for the donkey to think that, oh, all the people like me. It is because of me, even my personality, that they are there. It is very tempting for people who gather people to think that the people are around because of them. And if that is the disposition of the army of Christ, or if a believer, he can easily be deceived. Because there are many false people everywhere. That we have to look at a higher cause and be loyal to that cause in spite of all other things. So we shouldn't make that mistake. The people were around because of Jesus. They have seen donkeys before. They know your type. They know people who talk like you. Yes, they know your stature. They know your education. They know everything. They have people who are even better than you. It is because of the cross of Christ that people are around. You know, Paul put it this way. Says that, follow me as I follow Christ. He was saying that the cause of Christ is what we should ultimately follow. Follow me as I follow Christ. As long as I am on the cause of Christ, let that one let you follow me. Why are we following? Because of the cause of Christ. And we don't have to lose sight of that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 5, Paul commended the church for giving themselves first to Christ and to him by the will of God. And that is how it needs to be. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, loyalty comes easily to a person who understands teamwork, who understands God's battle strategy on this earth. So let me share with us some few things about teamwork or army work. Army work is teamwork. Number one, our output is small when we lack respect for teamwork. Our output is small or become small when we lack respect for teamwork. We all must develop a strong affection for the team, for the army, for teamwork, because the work is big and teamwork is the only strategy that can cover the work, that can conquer the fields. It's not alone. It's teamwork. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two is better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. So that is the first thing you need to understand. If you know that the core mission is to kingdomize the world, which involves evangelization and discipling, then you know that the work is a very tough work. Even evangelizing alone takes all our budgets. Getting somebody to stay there and to disciple these people, which really is the commission. The commission is not go and save souls. Jesus did not tell us in Matthew chapter 18 to 20 to go and save souls. He told us to go and make disciples. It goes beyond saving souls. You save the souls and then you make them learners. You make them learn the rule of God, the principles of the kingdom. So it's a big work that we must respect teamwork fully. Number two, teamwork helps us to give glory to God and not take it for ourselves. Teamwork. When a commission, like four or five people, are supposed to investigate something, nobody can take any glory for himself. They look for somebody to take the glory. Everybody contributed. They give the glory unto God in the case of believers. Teamwork help us to give glory to God and not to take it for ourselves. Isaiah 42 verse 8. and 48 verse 11. He says, I will not give my glory unto another. God said, I will not do that. I won't give my glory unto another. Number three, army work. Being in a commission or group work eliminates pride, the greatest trap of Satan, because of the contribution and output mismatch. You know, if you are working in a group, the output is big, is great. Hallelujah. So when you are working as an army and they score a victory, you know that it's not only you. And so pride is defeated in the first place. It's not you, because pride is the greatest trap of the devil. Pride comes in when you go ahead and the devil sneaks at your back with that thing. One of the last ammunition of the devil. He can't stop you. You gain the victory. I mean, fine, you defeat him. You conquer people. I mean, you are powerful, you are great and all that. That last meaning, when he cannot prevent you from conquest, he just releases pride as the last one. Because you look at all that you have done and your heart is deceived. And you say in your heart, had it not been me, this would not have been. This is not how God wants us to be. There is a contribution and output mismatch when we work as a team. In other words, your contribution, the small one, the output or the result becomes so big. All these things are in the Bible. Oh, you suffer small, but what comes out is so big. That pride, you say that, no, that's why it's God who did it. That is why he wants to conquer the world with a team and not with one person.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.